Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning appointment, please call 919-779-1755. This program is designed to provide the latest coverage of classical, folk, jazz, blues, rock, country, and pop music news. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's trivia questions come to us from the website onthisday.com. Question number one, it was on this day back in 1970 that Led Zeppelin performed in Denmark under the name Knobs. Why did they do that? Was it A, the Danish meaning of the word knobs had massive appeal? Was it B, the band wanted to start a new band from the ground up? Was it C, the Von Zeppelin family threatened a lawsuit for using their name? Or was it D, any reference to the word Zeppelin was a painful memory to the Danes of Nazi occupation during World War II? So why did Led Zeppelin change their name to the Knobs back in 1970? And question number two, why did Ray Charles make the news on this day back in 1977? Was it A, his song, Georgia, On My Mind, was adopted as a state song? Was it B, he was sued for refusing to perform in a theater with segregated seating? Was it C, he was attacked by an audience member? Or was it D, he sang his gospel version of America the Beautiful at the Republican National Convention? Ray Charles. So why did he make the news on this day in 1977 anyway? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Our transitions come to us from that same website, onthisday.com, and today, quote-unquote, is the weekend of February 28th. Well, it was on this very day back in 1810 that composer Frédéric Chopin was born. Chopin is known for such compositions as his famous ones, like Chopin, known for his nocturnes in general, and then specifically one of the best known ones, Nocturne in E-flat, Opus 9, number 2. So, Chopin's birthday, today, 1810. And it was 125 years ago today, 1900, that composer Kurt Weill was born. The German-born composer created a revolutionary kind of opera of sharp social satire in collaboration with the writer Bertolt Brecht. Together they wrote such compositions as Mack the Knife. Bobby Darin's swing version of that song became a hit in 1959. Weill, born today in 1900.
I'd like to say a few words in defense of our country. These people aren't bad, nor are they mean. Now the leaders we have while they're the worst that we've had, are hardly the worst this poor world has seen. Let's turn history's pages, shall we?
Randy Newman's A Few Words in Defense of Our Country introduces our country and folk music news. This is written by Robert Hilburn, celebrates Randy Newman in new biography. Forbes Magazine, 19th January 2025, by Steve Bolton. How beloved is Randy Newman by his peers? When noted journalist, longtime L.A. Times pop music critic Robert Hilburn, quote, in his new biography, A Few Words in Defense of Our Country, on Newman, he reached out to some of the greatest songwriters to write testimonials about Newman. The first to respond, Bob Dylan. Then Paul Simon, Don Henley, Jackson Browne. When a quartet of the greatest songwriters will speak publicly about your brilliance, that says it all. I asked Hilburn about the celebration of Newman. Bolton said, you can know so much about Randy Newman, but when you start getting into something like this, it's like doing a cover song. You know a song. You've heard it a billion times, and then you sing it yourself, and you start getting into all the nuances. So what were some of the things in this book that surprised you the most? Hilburn replies, oh, the thing that surprised me, I knew the artistic arc of Randy. The reason I wanted to do this book was he's on my list of top five American songwriters, top three probably. But when I would meet people and say Randy Newman, they would say, I love short people. They think of him as that song or You've Got a Friend in Me. Almost nobody, I'm talking about general public, knows anything beyond those songs. And to me, 95% of his legacy is those other songs. The songs he wrote about the shortcomings he sees in the American character. Racism, sexism, greed, homophobia, and all those ugly things. And the reason people don't know about him is radio never played them. They were controversial. You couldn't understand him sometimes because he's talking in the words of an unreliable narrator. He's not Randy speaking. His characters are speaking.
Messy at best. This empire's in you. Like all the rest. Like the Spanish Armada. Drift on the sea. We drift in the land of the brave, the home of the free. Goodbye, goodbye, goodbye.
So all that stuff confused radio, and they just said sorry, except for short people. That kind of popped up, and they played that. So my goal was to get people to understand him and search out his greatness. I said, when I saw that 2,000 people storm the U.S. Capitol, millions of us said, how did our country ever get to this place? The thing that struck me then was Randy had been warning us about these things, writing about these things, trying to educate about these things for 50 years. The article skips down and ends with this. Bolton asks, what do you want people to take away about Randy from this book? And Hilburn, the author, writes, I want them to first of all know he's not just the guy who wrote Short People. He's not just the guy who wrote You've Got a Friend in Me. I think he's one of the three or four best songwriters in America. Bob Dylan, Paul Simon, and Randy Newman would be the three I'd put. You could debate who else could be in that list, but that's the three I think are certain for me. And the thing is, nobody has talked about America, its problems, as seriously and as consistently as Randy. and no one has shown the compositional skills. He has that film score, all that orchestra conducting. He has all that. He's a great arranger. But mainly the thing he's going to be remembered for is that subject matter of those great songs. I want people to realize he is one of the great songwriters, and then I want them to be motivated enough to sample some of the songs and hear the message, because the message is so important today. Handel's Water Music Suite 2 introduces our classical music news. It's titled Classical Music Secret Code. Understanding these four concepts will make you a super listener. This is written in Classical Music, BBC Classic Musical Magazine, by Hannah Nepalova on the 23rd of February, 2025. How much do you enjoy the following masterpiece? Quite a lot, we'll bet. But we reckon you'll get many more layers of pleasure from it with the help of our four essential building blocks of music. Read on as we unveil the four key and easily understandable concepts that will help you to get so much more out of your music listening. Of course, the joy of music is deeply personal and often profoundly moving, but understanding these four ideas, form, harmony, rhythm, and dynamics, will enhance your appreciation and deepen your connection to this most wonderful art form. Form. Form is the overall structure or architecture of a piece of music, dictating how different sections of a composition are organized and repeated. Why is it important? Without form, music would be perceived, to put it bluntly, as a mess, a jumble of disjointed sounds, devoid of progression or development. Form allows composers to create a coherent and meaningful composition by defining distinct sections that relate to each other, making it easier for listeners to follow and appreciate the music. In this way, we can liken music to narrative in a piece of fiction. It provides a piece of music within the same sense of anticipation and resolution as a novel or a short story. What kinds of forms are there? Well, amongst the most common forms in classical music is sonata form, which consists of three main sections: the exposition, the development, and recapitulation. Ternary form, consisting of an opening section A, a following section B, and then a repetition of the opening, is also pretty common. There's also rondo form, in which a recurring theme is interspersed with contrasting sections, and then there's theme and variations, from which works exactly the way you would expect, setting out an initial theme before elaborating on that theme in a selection of variations. Okay, number two, harmony. Harmony is a combination of different musical notes played or sung simultaneously, often forming chords. Certain combinations of chords are known as chord progressions. Why is it important? Harmony adds richness and context to melody, making the music sound fuller and more varied. Different chord combinations also evoke various emotions, like happiness, sadness, tension, suspense, climax, or resolution, allowing music to tell a story. What kinds of harmonies are there? Harmonies can be divided into a few basic groups. Diatonic harmony, often used in pop, rock, and dance music, uses notes and chords all from the same musical key. The vanilla of harmonic flavors, diatonic harmony, is comforting and relatively predictable. Non-diatonic harmony uses notes from other scales in addition to the key signature. Often found in 20th century and contemporary classical music, non-diatonic harmony adds tension, color, and an element of unpredictability to music. Consonant harmony sounds smooth and blends naturally to the ear. Number 3 is rhythm. Rhythm is the pattern of sound, silence, and emphasis in a piece of music. It concerns how long notes are played and with what intensity. When certain durations of notes are repeated, this is referred to as a rhythmic pattern. Why is it important? This essential component of classical music's secret code helps to establish mood, pace, and character, creating a sense of flow and triggering an urge to dance. It also helps keep musicians in sync with each other. What kinds of rhythm are there? Well, firstly, there's regular rhythm, in which elements are repeated precisely in an evenly spaced arrangement. Some of these include the waltz, a triple-time rhythm characterized by a 3/4-time signature, and the march, a strong rhythm generally in 2/4 or 4/4-time designed to accompany marching. Then there's the dotted rhythm, often characterized by a compound-time signature like 6/8 or 9/8 and found in dance music. In syncopated rhythms, offbeats are emphasized more than the main beat. These are particularly characteristic of jazz music, but classical music has its fair share too. Number 4, dynamics. Dynamics are the changes in volume in a piece of music. Why are they important? Imagine someone reciting a speech with no variation in emphasis or volume. You'd fall asleep. And even if you didn't, you'd probably struggle to grasp what was being communicated. The same goes for a piece of music. Dynamics help to convey emotion and also to lend variety, interest, and often drama. They also support a sense of narrative, helping to emphasize the build-up to climaxes, and even on a smaller scale, reinforcing the flow of individual phrases. A crescendo leading up to a phrase's central tone can play a vital role in communicating musical intent. What kinds of dynamics are there? Well, the key terms are forte, or F, for loud, piano, or P, for soft, crescendo, getting louder, and diminuendo, getting quieter. Some composers like Holst and Mahler like to take these dynamics, especially the loud F, to extremes. In conclusion, so there you have it. 4 key concepts, form, harmony, rhythm, and dynamics, are sure to make you a more attentive present listener and to enhance the enjoyment you get from music. Of course, the joy of music is a very subjective and often a very powerful feeling. However, a grasp of these 4 key musical ideas will deepen your understanding and hence your love of the most basic yet most beautiful form of human expression. Happy listening. And that takes us into our rock and pop music news. Here we have, introducing the rock and pop music news, Oasis's Wonderwall.
Today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you. By now you should have somehow realized what you gotta do. I don't believe that anybody feels the way I do about you now.
Oasis set list for long-awaited 2025 reunion tour is leaked, with one glaring omission. As Liam Gallagher confirms whether or not it is real. This is published in Daily Mail on the 7th of January, 2025, by Sam Lawley. The set list for Oasis's long-awaited 2025 reunion tour was leaked on social media on Tuesday, and Liam Gallagher has now confirmed its authenticity. Fans were sent into a frenzy in the summer when Noel, 57, and Liam, 52, announced they had put their differences aside and would return in 2025. It will be the first time they will perform on stage together since breaking up in 2009, following a backstage brawl at the Rock and Seine Festival in France. The much-hyped events have been shrouded in mystery since it was confirmed in August of 2024. But the secret now seems to be out after a fan claimed to have leaked the song selection for the tour. But there was no room for one of their biggest singles. The rumored set starts off with Acquiesce, the only Oasis hit to feature the brothers singing in tandem, and a popular opener for past shows. The following song is the band's first UK number one hit, Some Might Say, which appears on their second album, What's the Story, Morning Glory, released in 1995. The Gallaghers then go through some of their most beloved tracks, including The Hindu Times, Columbia, and Cast No Shadow. The band are set to leave their fan-favorite hits until the end of their shows. And the Gallagher brothers finish off the set with 7.5-minute album anthem, Champagne Supernova. There is noticeably no room for Wonderwall, which has over 2.2 billion plays on Spotify and is the group's sole top 40 entry on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100. Although, you would imagine, the 1995 hit is a shoo-in for an encore. Lead singer Liam, however, who boasts 3.8 billion singers, followers on X, responded to the speculated song list and says, "It's not far off." So, how did you do on today's trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question, it was on this day back in 1970 that Led Zeppelin performed in Denmark under the name Knobs. Why'd they do that? Was it A, the Danish meaning of the word knobs had massive appeal? Was it B, the band wanted to start a new band from the ground up? Was it C, the Von Zeppelin family threatened a lawsuit for using their name? Or D, any reference to the word Zeppelin was a painful memory to the Danes of Nazi occupation during World War II? Correct answer? Answer C. The name change was due to a threatened lawsuit by the granddaughter of Count Ferdinand von Zeppelin. The band changed their name to the Knobs to avoid the lawsuit by the descendant of the inventor of the Zeppelin airships, according to an article in IMDb.com by Ross Tannenbaum on 2/28/2023. And the answer to our second question, why did Ray Charles make the news on this day back in 1977? Was it A, his song Georgia on My Mind was adopted as a state song? Was it B, he was sued for refusing to perform in a theater with segregated seating? Was it C, he was attacked by an audience member? Or was it D, he sang his gospel version of America the Beautiful at the Republican National Convention? Correct answer? Answer C. He was attacked by an audience member on this day back in 77. An audience member leapt onto the stage with a rope and attempted to strangle him. Ray Charles fought the aggressor off until security aided him. Curiously, no complaint was ever filed, with the authorities were not alerted. The group decided they would handle the situation privately, and his identity was not announced. At that celebrity benefit concert, hundreds of people witnessed the attack. The blind singer, by a man who jumped on stage and began choking him with a microphone cord, saying, "Ray Charles will see, and the Lord will come tonight." The attacker yelled before security guards could wrest him away from Mr. Charles. So let's close out today's program with a tribute to Roberta Flack, the Grammy-winning singer-songwriter whose string of hits bridged sophisticated pop and vintage soul. She died February 24 at the age of 88. A product of piano-based classical training and the gospel stylings of the AME Church. She was known for such hits as Killing Me Softly with his song, The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face, and this duet, Tonight I Celebrate My Love. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to tune in at the same time next week. This program also available as a podcast after the broadcast in our website, ncreadingservice.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have a suggestion for music to feature on this program, please leave a message for me at 919-832-5138. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information, or to schedule a piano tuning, please call 919-779-1755. So long, until next time.